Welcome to Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. Greg Richard here, joined by Judy Sharp for the last time for the year, Judy.
It is. What are we going to do for the next few weeks?
Well, a bit of Christmas would be on the cards.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
What, getting very surprised it's going to be 2026 before you know it?
Yes, definitely, yeah. And this year's gone so quickly, Greg.
It has.
Yeah.
I freaked out the other day when I had to write 2026. Well, it's too early for that.
Too early, definitely.
Last one for the year, Judy. What have you got lined up for us?
Mostly Christmas instructions.
Okay.
Yeah, mostly Christmas instructions. You know, people buy living Christmas trees.
Yep.
Not the cut-off ones. Of course, they don't last forever. But I used to sell a lot of, you know, potted Christmas trees of all different sizes. So I've got some instructions for them today, because what do you think most people would do when it's over, when Christmas is over?
I'm going to say sadly, I think they just tip it out.
No, not the potted ones. No, they paid a lot of money for them.
Oh, really?
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, because they like size.
Yep.
And no, they put them straight out in the full sun.
Oh, and obviously, because they've been out of the sun for all that long.
Yeah, so we're going to deal with that today.
And we've got John from Nelson Bay, and he's got a bird of paradise that was accidentally sprayed by the neighbour. He might be trying to save it. Afternoon, John.
Good afternoon.
Hello, John.
Hello, Judy. How are we?
I'm very well, and so is Greg. And you don't sound real happy about this, do you?
Well,
I know it was an accident, yeah.
Well, unfortunately not. My neighbour behind, who's since moved, had some bamboo growing on the fence line that was behind my house. And I've got some bird of paradise painted along my side of the fence. And unfortunately, she's sprayed the bamboo with some herbicide. It's completely killed it. But unfortunately, it looks like the herbicide has gone down into the soil, and my bird of paradise looks very secondhand.
Right.
Is there any way that you can think of perhaps saving it?
Oh, John, look, the most important thing would be to do cut it back, so it's not struggling to support its big growth. And, you know, they're pretty tough plants, really. And the other thing I do is go out and just soak the roots with water, because obviously it's the roots that have been affected, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. More so than the spray coming through onto the leaves.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking about giving it some liquid fertiliser on a fairly regular basis. Would that be of assistance?
You could do that, but I think in the meantime, I think you need to cut off the foliage that it's struggling to keep alive. You know, I don't mean to cut it back to the ground, but, you know, where you can see the foliage dying, I'd cut some of that off, because it's only struggling to support it.
Right, okay, yeah, and that's
just
a good idea.
Yeah, and give it a good dose of water, because I know we've had a little rain, but not enough really. So I'd be soaking the roots of it, and let's see if you can bring it back to life. But after that, sure, then we'll start to give it some flourish or something like that.
Okay, yep, I'll do that.
Yep, so it sounds like a bit of a process, John, but I think it's going to take a while. But knowing how tough they are, I think it'll shoot back up again. But when you tell me the bamboo really died, well, sounds like it's had a good spray.
Oh, yes. It might have, I think it would have been fairly heavy duty. Just while I have you on the phone, I rang several months ago and asked about a fiddle leaf fig that was getting too top-heavy, and you suggested that I should trim it back when it started getting a bit warmer. That's the best advice I've ever received.
Oh, is it?
I trimmed off the branches of the fiddle leaf fig that were going way too tall for the pot. It's in a pot, and I actually trimmed those back, and I struck those, and they're growing marvellously well. But the main fiddle leaf fig is actually growing leaves from the stalks that I trimmed back.
Oh, good on you. Well done, John, yeah.
Really, I mean, thank you so much for that. I'm looking at it now and it's turned amazing.
Well, John, sometimes I do make mistakes, you know, so Hopefully not with your bird of paradise tour.
Okay, Judy,
I think
great.
That's Thanks the way to go. And, John, I hope you'll have a lovely and blessed Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Same to you.
Thank you, John. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We've got Keith now from Edgeworth, and he's got some issues with his buffalo lawn.
Oh, hello, Keith. What's the problem with your buffalo?
Oh, how are you going today?
Oh, very well. Fighting fit in here.
That's good, yeah. I'm driving around the air-conditioned car. Yeah, so I've got nice buffalo, and it's coming in the front yard where we get traffic, people, and things, and it's coming up with patches, or like 300, like scattered patches of cooch, blue cooch, green cooch, I don't know, it's like that stuff they have molars on. That'd be blue cooch, would it?
Right, okay, Keith. How do you think that's getting in your lawn?
Well, as I say, it could be coming from visitors' cars or I don't know.
Right, okay.
I did 6 months ago in the middle of winter, or not winter, but spring, I did get some rolls of turf buffalo from church, Plumbings, and... Yeah, could have been in that when I bought it, I don't know.
Okay, look, it's not going to be an easy one to get rid of. I think you realise that. You're going to have to dig that cooch out.
Oh, don't say that.
Sorry. Well, how else are you going to get rid of it? If you poison it, you're going to poison your buffalo.
I know. I tried the Bindi. You can't say that because you can't sell it, but I've got some, plenty of it.
Yeah,
I tried Bindi on it, and didn't even touch the sides.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't.
Nah.
No, you know,
the old pick and shovel, you reckon?
I think so. Sorry, Christmas is coming up. You've probably got a lot of time on your hands, have you?
Mate, I've been retired for 12 years.
Oh right, okay. Well,
I've got all the time. Every day's a Sunday.
Okay, Keith, well, I'm sorry, but a lot of back's going to be bending there.
Yeah, all right, pick and shovel, here we go.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Give us a ring and let us know next year what's happened.
Yeah, I'll listen to you when you're on every time. So
oh, thank you, Keith, and hopefully you have a lovely Christmas.
Same to you, and all your crew in there. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I couldn't manage without them.
It's just me.
Okay, thank you.
We've got Eric from Barnsley, and he's got a grevillea with a branch. Well, the branch is just going to be dying off one at a time.
Oh, Eric.
Yes,
oh, not a,
hi, Judy.
That's a real problem, isn't it? Because grevilleas grow so easily.
Yes, it's one of six that were all planted at the same time, all doing fantastically. And about 8-9 months ago, one of the branches died off on one of them, and I've now lost three over that period.
Oh, okay, rightio. Now, have you checked them for borers?
I've just dug down to sort of the roots and that and had a look to see if I could see anything that might have bored in via the roots, but I can't see anything.
Right, so you're not seeing the, the cockchafer grub, the white one?
No.
Because they eat the roots and that's what happens, and they go from plant to plant.
Yeah,
You didn't see any of those in the soil at all?
No, I didn't.
Right.
And the plants either side of it are perfectly good. They haven't lost any branches.
Now, tell me, are they in the sun? They're not in the shade, are they?
No, absolutely full sun. The entire day.
Yeah. Look, it's a mystery one. Grevilleas are hard to die. hard to kill, I mean.
Yes.
Hard to kill. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... All you can do is keep checking it and see if, you know, anything does invade it, but you definitely don't have borers anywhere in the stems?
Not that I could see. And when the stems I cut off weren't, like, hollow or anything like that.
Oh, okay, rightio. That is a mystery one.
No, still solid. Yeah.
A real mystery one, Eric.
Right.
I'm hoping we've got listeners that might be able to give us a clue on this one.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
It would be, wouldn't it? And So you stay tuned, and let's hope someone rings in with an answer to that mystery. It is a mystery one. Yeah.
Right. Okie doke.
I'm sorry, Eric, I can't really solve it for you. I wished I could.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, thanks, but maybe if I saw a piece of the branch even, but that's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, that's gone. Yeah.
Okie dokie. Well, good luck with it, and let's hope Christmas makes it a bit better for you.
Hopefully, yeah.
Thanks for the call, Eric, but ring us back next year.
Will do.
Yes, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
We have David from Raymond Terrace, and his veggie garden, his capsicums are going rotten on the plants, and he's, well, this doesn't sound good, all his other veggies are going yellow.
David.
Real problems today
in the garden.
Are you there?
Yeah, I definitely am.
Yeah, hello, Judy. My capsicum, it's healthy looking, about 2 metres tall, and the capsicums start growing, and then they start rotting on the plant. And then in the same veggie garden, I grew some beans and tomatoes, and they lasted about 4 weeks, and then they started going yellow.
Right, okay. So tell me what you've done. Have you been fertilising at all?
No, I do the fertilising before I plant.
Before you plant,
I dig it in. And actually, that's why I'm calling, because I'm just sitting outside the landscape. So I just pulled everything out, dug it over, and I've got a choice of one of three, either chicken manure, mushroom compost or cow manure, all three, any one of them not put in or...
Oh, no. Cow manure would be the best.
Just cow manure, none of the others?
No, I just do cow manure. So are you going to re-dig the beds, are you, and replant?
Yes. With this cool weather today and tomorrow, I've dug it over today and I'm going to dig in something... Start again.
No, look, I'd use cow manure, but don't plant for a week.
A week?
Yep, definitely a week.
Terrific.
You've got to let it cool down. And and also, too, we might get a little bit more rain, so that will help, won't it?
Yes.
But, yeah, and you didn't see any grubs in the capsicum?
No, not at all, no.
Okay.
And next to that capsicum, I've got another capsicum that looked like chilli, but they're really sweet capsicum, and they grew all right. It was just that traditional-looking capsicum. All of them, they started rotting on the... When they get to a certain size.
Yeah, it sounds a bit fungal to me, if you're not seeing anything inside the capsicum. No, it's a bit of a mystery one. We're having mysteries all through today. But,
right then.
Yeah, look, let's go with the cow manure. Dig it in, wait about a week to plant, and then... Give me a ring next year if you're still having this bad luck, and I'll try and rack my brain and see what's the problem with it.
Okay, thanks, Judy. Have a good Christmas, David,
and you have a lovely one too. I'm sorry you're losing those lovely veggies, though, but time to take amends. Okay.
Bye.
We've got John from Adawi, and he's got an issue with his plants as well. His cucumbers, a bit of a sooty mould on them.
Oh, sooty mould. Okay, John.
Yeah, good afternoon. How you going?
Oh, we're going very well in here today, flat out, actually.
Well, I've got another one for you. It's actually powdery mildew. That was my fault.
Oh, right, okay.
Now, my question is my cucumbers and basically any of those broadleaf leaves by things like my zucchinis and that seem to get it, and I'm worried it may be in the soil. Is that possible?
Look, it is possible, but have you got copper oxychloride?
I did buy something, and I'm not sure what it is, but because I've tried the milk treatment.
Yeah, that wouldn't know, not if you've got it that bad.
Yeah, no, that hasn't done anything. Yeah. And I did buy something, and it was recommended at the nursery, and I think it was a copper something.
Okay, well, that's
what... I haven't tried it yet because I didn't. Really understand. I thought I'd give you a ring first.
Oh, good on you. But, John, no, that's the answer.
Okay.
So just check that it's copper oxychloride. And but, you know, you can also put that through the soil too if you think it's soil-bound.
Okay. Well, it seems funny because it doesn't matter. Each year I put my cucumbers and things like that in and the leaves start from a very young... Down the bottom it starts and then they work their way up, as you probably... seen it yourself.
Yes, but definitely, Look, I think you've probably got the powdery mildew, the sooty mould, but you need the copper oxychloride.
Okay, thank you very much, Judy. And I hope you have a lovely Christmas.
Thank you, but before you go, I'd leave those beds empty for a little while.
Okay.
And then have a rest over Christmas and get back to it after that.
So you reckon, like, pull out what is in there at the moment?
Yeah, look, if you're not getting any benefit from them.
Oh, I'm actually still getting cucumbers, but
oh,
yeah.
Okay. No, look, the powdery mildew, the copper oxychloride won't hurt.
Okay.
Yeah,
right on.
Just wash it off the fruit, that's all.
Thank you very much.
Okay, John, you're welcome. Bye.
I appreciate your help. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So we've got Neil from Adamstown Heights, and his pomegranate is only getting male flowers, but not getting female flowers.
Oh, hello, Neil. That sounds like a problem, doesn't it?
It is when we're not getting the fruit.
Yeah, that's for sure. Good afternoon. So when you bought it, did you buy it as a growing plant?
Yes, yes.
You
did?
It
was an established one, as like maybe half a metre tall.
Right, okay.
And I understood that it had it should get the male and female flowers on it as it sort of matured.
Yeah, so it was grafted, was it?
Yes, I believe so.
Right, okay.
It's as a Baitani, Galotia azabatani, I think is what I've got. I've still got the tag on it.
Right, right.
So that means anything to you, but yeah, I didn't know whether it may be just, well, I think it's about 3 to 4 years old, so whether it's not mature enough.
The
male and female flowers on.
That could be the case, Neil. It's not very high yet, is it?
It's probably 2 metres.
Right, okay, yeah. Look, I think it might be just immature, but the other thing is, have you got a lot of bees in your garden?
No. Sadly, if we see 3 or 4, we get really excited. But I have... I looked to hand-pollinate the flowers, but I've Googled or I've searched the internet and found that I think the male flower shape is like a bell, and the female flowers should be like a peanut.
Right.
And I'm only getting the ones that are shaped like a bell, so I'm thinking that's why I think I'm only getting the male flowers.
Sounds like the graft may not have taken.
Okay.
I don't know where you purchased it, but
too
long ago to worry. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm thinking maybe if you... Do you think you could go and search out and buy another one so that you get the cross-pollination happening?
Yeah, that was a thought if there wasn't any other solution, because we do enjoy the pomegranate.
Yeah, lovely, lovely fruit. Look, I think that could be the answer.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll look into that. And so thank you very much for your time and much appreciated.
Yeah, look, I'm sorry I can't give you a definitive answer on it, but I think that you telling me just you're only getting one kind of flower tells the story. Maybe the graft wasn't.
Yeah, probably had 8 or 10 flowers on it so far this season.
Season, yeah.
But they've all been male. I've tried just pollinating anyway, but they haven't done anything.
What a bully those male flowers are, aren't they?
They are, yes.
Neil, look, I think that's what you need to do, dear. Just buy another one and hope that it's successful.
But
also have a lovely Christmas, but don't stress too much over it. Just seek it out and see if you can find a good sample.
Okay, thanks very much, Judy, and all the best for Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you very much, Neil. Thank you.
Bye.
We've got Judith now from Jasmine, and she wants to know how to prune roses.
Oh, Judith, okay. Why are you pruning at this time of year?
Well, I'm not actually pruning, Judy. It's just that I'm not sure what to do. I'm rather new at growing roses.
Oh, right, okay, yep.
Yes, and it's a beautiful rose, and it came up in one long stem, and then at the top it branched out to about 6 very short stems.
Right.
And I got the roses on them, and they were absolutely beautiful. So I'm not sure whether I should just cut the head off the roses and leave it with the long stem and all the other little bits, or what I should do.
Okay, Judith, that's an easy one to answer. Where your roses are still on there and they've died off, if you look down the stem a little bit, you will see a new shoot coming out.
Right.
And so you prune on an angle down to that shoot.
Right.
So you should find they, once the rose dies off, you'll find that they will start to shoot down underneath the rose. Don't be too hasty. Just wait till you see the shoot. And then you prune off on an angle on that shoot.
Oh, great.
It's
quite easy.
And after you do that, it won't hurt you to give them a dose of sudden impact.
Right.
That sounds easy. Well, look, my roses had budworm in them early in the season and I was very distressed about it. So I went and chopped the whole lot of them off because I knew the budworm would spread. So I chopped them off down to that next bud when I saw it, and I've got beautiful roses on there now.
Oh, good.
So good luck with it and enjoy it.
Good, thank you, and a happy Christmas to you and your family.
Oh, thank you very much, Judith. We really appreciate that, and I hope you have a gorgeous one too.
Yes, I will with all my new roses.
Very good, very good.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Judith. Bye.
Bye.
We got Peter from Birmingham Gardens, and he's got a bit of an issue with the old stink bugs. Afternoon, Peter.
Afternoon.
Stink bugs.
Stink bugs, yes.
Oh, nasty creatures.
Oh, they're disgusting, yeah. But I've solved my problem. Because my wife knows everything about gardening. I think she saw it on Facebook or something, but she said, you've got a wet and dry vac. Put some water in it, put some detergent in, and you can use the nozzle and just vacuum them off. So I know on really hot days they all come down the trunk.
They do.
Yeah, so they're very obvious there, and I just got stuck in and sucked them all up.
And you sucked them up. So do you really want to spray them? I mean, I spray them to kill them. You want us just keep vacuuming them.
Oh, well, they die. As soon as they get into the soapy water, they die.
Yeah, right.
It saves putting spray on it.
Yeah.
I thought my wife said that she couldn't buy it anymore. Anyway, so on a really hot day, you've got to rug up and do all this. But I found that we actually have bees, and they didn't like either the vacuum cleaner noise or the smell of the stink bugs. So I had to do it several times, go out, do a quick one, leave them for an hour, go back, do some more. Otherwise, the bees got a bit agitated. So.
Oh, well, you don't want that to happen.
No,
and,
right.
If you are inclined to spray late in the afternoon because the bees do go to bed.
That's probably why we don't want to spray, actually.
But you don't want to destroy the wet and dry vac, really works. Okay, good. I'm glad.
Just warn your listeners that if they got beehives, they might not like it.
Okay, look, thank you for the call, and I'm sure the people out there listening now, our listeners, will be absorbing that. But thank you. That's great advice,
really
Peter.
It really does.
Yeah. Okay. Vac them up. Suck them up. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, suck them up.
Suck them up. Have a lovely Christmas, Peter, and thank you for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. We've got a couple more calls. We've got Lee from Madawi, and she's got a problem with her lemon tree.
Hello. How are you, Lee?
Good, thanks, Judy. And yourself?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you.
That's good. My lemon tree is really going well and growing big and going very well, but the lemons are actually getting to about the size of a 10-cent piece and then dropping off.
Oh, well, it's a bit sad, Lee.
With cow manure and...
Cow manure. Right, okay. When did you do that, Lee?
When they start to fall off, I thought it might need a feed.
Oh, right, okay. Well, did you go out under the drip line?
Yeah.
You did, and watered it in when you were finished?
Yeah.
But they actually needed poultry, Lee.
Oh, okay. I've got some here. I can do that.
Well, don't overdo it because the weather's pretty hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that could be your problem if you're over-fertilising too. But make sure you fertilise out under the drip line, but you water it first, put the fertiliser around and then water it in.
Oh, terrific.
Okay.
Okay, thanks very much, Judy.
That's okay, but no more cow, only poultry.
Okay,
thanks
very much.
Have a lovely Christmas.
You too.
Bye.
We've got Diane from Vasey, and well, her roses, all the leaves are dying with the heat.
Oh, Diane, that's so sad.
It is sad, but where they are is probably a major problem because I have a lot of gum trees in my yard, and they're underneath the gum trees, which I know is not the ideal place. But I just want to know: do I cut those dead leaves off, or will they just fall off, and they just will produce? You know, and there's new little leaves, new little shoots coming. I can see them,
right.
And I'm giving them water, more water than I was before.
That was
just
the problem.
That we had the 40-degree temperatures. That's all.
Yeah. No, look, I'd cut those leaves off and let the new shoots come out.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
but
all I wanted to know, Judy. Thank you very much.
Water, and a dose of sudden impact to kick them along.
Yeah, tank water, they get whatever they can get, no?
Yeah.
Serving tank water is not marvellous for roses either. But anyway, no, that's all I wanted to know was I'll cut those leaves off and then the new shoots will come up. Through.
They will, yes, but it's the water, and a little bit of sudden impact. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Diane.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call and a lovely Christmas to you.
Same to you. Have a lovely Christmas. Thank
you.
Bye. We got Leanne from Lambton, and her lily pilly it seems to be destroyed by a wasp's nest.
Ooh. Yes.
Ooh.
Hi, Judy.
Hello, Leanne. Nasty.
Hello. Yes. It was beautiful and lush and had the biggest wasp nest and they were angry looking, so I sprayed it.
What did you spray with, Leanne?
Wasp killer, like wasp, proper wasp.
Oh, wasp spray, right. Yes. That might have been pretty strong, I'd say.
And now it's like brown, kind of brown.
Oh, wonder what that wasp spray had in it.
Yeah. I just wondered if there's anything I could think to the roots of the lily pilly hedge, because it's a lovely hedge.
Yeah.
Or do I cut off the destroyed bits and then see if it'll grow back, or do I feed it with something?
No, look, my lily pilly in a pot, I was a bit neglectful because it was in a pot and not in the ground, but it was also somewhat in the shade, and I went out and it was dropping every leaf, but it was the hot weather and lack of rain, so I started to pump the water in and it's really picked up. So probably the best...
The end is green that I haven't sprayed where the wasps are, so I definitely think it's the wasp spray.
Yeah.
I didn't inherit my dad's green farm, I tell you. He worked on parks and gardens at the council.
Oh,
he
did he?
Judy, I can kill a succulent. No, I'm not real good.
Oh, dear. Look, that's a shame, but I think... I think there's no solution now that you've sprayed it. Just cut off those parts that have dead and allow it to shoot out again.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, and you have a Merry Christmas.
And thank
to you.
You
and your family.
Yeah. And
thank you.
We hope you do too, dear. Thank you, and
thank
good
you
luck with it.
Thank you very much, Judy.
Bye.
Bye.
We've got Maureen from Medford, and she wants to know when the cutback of Maybush.
Oh, okay, Maureen. The Maybush now.
Yeah.
Because it's finished flowering, hasn't it?
It's finished flowering, yes.
Yeah.
It's got a couple of dead branches in it, and the dead branches go right down to the root ball.
Right.
But it's very sparingly. It seems to not done real well this year.
But, you know, Maureen, they're easy to grow, aren't they?
They are, yes.
Okay. Is it getting old?
It would be, yes.
Right. That could be part of the problem. Look, I would be cutting off those dead ones,
mm-hmm.
particularly where it goes right down to the roots, isn't it, down to the trunk?
Yeah, right down to the trunk, yeah.
And, you know, the other problem we've had, Maureen, is we haven't had enough rain.
That's right. Yeah. But I do water.
Right.
quite regularly.
Yeah.
And I didn't know whether it was too much or whether it was, at the time it may not have been enough. But,
No, look, I don't think so. I think I've been trying to water my garden every day at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a little bit of rain, but it's not really enough.
No.
You know,
not.
And I've had things curling up that I would have never expected to. So I've been doing a bit of trimming back because they're struggling to hold that growth on, and then I've been pumping the water into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, unfortunately, the May's pretty hardy creatures, so... you know, I just hope you're watering it enough.
Yeah, well, I do have the hose on. It's out the front, so I put a rain wave on every couple of nights.
and it stays on for a couple of hours.
Well,
so my lawn's nice and green, but
Maureen, I'm going to just whisper this.
Yeah.
Aren't we lucky we haven't got water restrictions?
Yeah, I'm very lucky we haven't got
for
water.
For the time being.
For the time being. Yeah. We don't want the water bot here.
I was wondering when I've got some clivias underneath my red robin trees out the back and I want to move them. Is it okay to move them now?
Yes, no, they're finished flowering. Yes, you can move them now.
Yeah.
But, you know, make sure you give them the shade. They don't like a lot of sun, as you know.
No, that's right. Yeah, because they're growing really well under the trees, but I want to move some of them, put them into a shady spot. So.
Yeah. Look, you can't kill clivias, I find.
No,
they're fabulous. Yeah.
Get a little bit of heat out the back and they come back, no problems.
Yeah, no, they're really great. I love them. So looks like you've got some work to do out there, Maureen.
I do. I'll have my gardener guy come and help me.
Oh, good idea, good idea. I'll try and ring mine when I get home, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, Maureen, you have a lovely, lovely Christmas, dear.
You too, Judy.
Thank you for the call. Bye.
Bye.
Now we've got time for one more call. We've got Cheryl from Greta, and she's got a question about fruit trees.
Hello, Cheryl. Oh. What can I help you with?
Hi, Judy. I've grown my own fruit trees down the back from seed. They're nectarines and pomegranate, different other stuff. And I espaliated all my nectarines and I've got carpet underneath them to keep all the grass at bay.
Right, okay.
And I've got a watering system I've set up on them. But how do I fertilise them because I've got carpet all under them?
Well, it's probably... what kind of trees were they again? What kind of fruit trees?
Nectarines mainly down there. I think I've got about 7.
Right.
And then I've got, a fuchsia, not a pomegranate. I've got guavas. I've got all different sorts I try to grow in a lot.
Right, okay. I'm just a bit in doubt why you're fertilising now in the heat.
Oh, don't I have to?
No, I wouldn't at the moment. No, probably spring would be better.
Yeah, I've got fruit on them, some of them right now.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't fertilise. Yeah. You're probably only going to burn it, I think.
So how do I fertilise them if I've got it covered with carpet? That's what I want to know.
Can you move the carpet?
Beg your pardon?
Can you move the carpet? Can you lift the carpet?
I've got some long rows, yeah.
Right, okay.
And the water system, I've got it right on their stalk. And I just leave the hose running for so long, you know.
Yeah, well, they're getting water, but they're not getting fertiliser. But if they're fruiting, I wouldn't worry unless you want to get rid of the carpet.
Oh, right. No, I want to keep that. Just saves a lot of work.
Okay. I think that's a very interesting topic, having carpet under your fruit trees.
Yeah, I've had it there now for 3 years or something.
And they're still fruiting. So, look, don't worry about it, Cheryl. Just leave them.
Oh, right. This is their first real year. Last year they had fruit, but it wasn't any good, you know?
Yeah,
but
right.
This year they've got plenty on them, yeah. So.
Oh, good. Well, something's working for you, dear, so...
Thanks, Stu. Yep. I thought I'd save myself some time and energy with the carpet.
That has worked, and you're getting fruit too. Cheryl, we wish you a very Merry Christmas from Greg and I. And have a good time and just keep the water up to them.
Yes, and keep safe. Thanks, Stu.
Thank you, Cheryl. Bye.
Thanks, Cheryl. Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. Judy Sharp, we're almost out of time, not just for today, but for the year.
Yeah.
Do you quickly want to mention what to do with Christmas trees?
Have we got time?
You've got 40 seconds.
Living Christmas trees, you'll spend a lot of money buying them in pots, and when you put it outside, do not put down in the full sun, and you'll need to give them a lot of water because you wouldn't have watered them inside.
Okay, yep.
Now, they're living Christmas trees, not the cut ones, Greg.
Right.
Yeah.
So just gradually... take them out.
Yeah, gradually take them out, put them in the shade and then ease them back out into the sun.
Okay, Dux.
So you've learnt a lot on this program.
I have.
Yeah, good.
Over the years.
Yeah.
It just hopefully sinks in.
Okay.
Well, Judy Sharp, thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg.
Enjoy the Christmas break.
Thank you, I will.
And we'll see you back in 2026.
Hopefully.